Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey everyone, welcome back to ClickFunnels Radio. This is a lot of fun. I have an opportunity to bring someone on. I get asked a lot these days about, well, what do I do with my business? What if I want to sell my business and all this kind of stuff? So I actually thought I'd reach out to a couple people, and Matt Bodner he's been crushing it for quite some time. I want to introduce you to him and give you some credit here so you guys know who he is and really why we're spending time talking. So real quick, let me just read this for you. He's named to Forbes 30 Under 30 and a partner in multiple Inc. fastest growing companies. He's a deal maker and strategy expert who has scaled businesses across multiple industries. Bodner is the chairman of the technology of co-founder and managing partner of Fresh Capital and managing partner of Fresh Holdings. We'll talk about that in just a second. But Bodner has had a deep expertise in acquisitions for more than a decade, investing with his family, its office. And most importantly, he is also the creator and host of Science of Success podcast with more than 5 million downloads. Bodner previously worked as a consultant in Nanjing, China, and spent several years at Goldman Sachs as well. So with all that said, Matt, welcome to the show.
Dave, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here, and hopefully we can share some cool insights for everybody listening.
I think this is a lot of fun. It's crazy right now. I see so many people wanting to sell their business or trying to grow it, or actually we see a lot of people wanting to go buy businesses. And so I thought, why not have the conversation here? And I thought this would kind of dive into, how do you scale yourself out of your own company? Or at the same time, as you're taking a look at buying someone else's business, how do you go ahead and do that? So with all that being said, congratulations on all your success, and let's dive in.
I'm ready when you are.
Awesome. So when you start taking a look here, what are some of the main things you think a person is looking to either buy or really sell? What are some of the main things they should be looking at?
Well, yeah, I mean, so it varies, right? Depending on if you're buying or selling, I think you should be looking potentially for very different things. And I mean, many things in life are not zero sum. To some extent, a purchase and sale is a zero sum in the sense that if I pay one less dollar for the business, that's one less dollar that goes in your pocket. But I think any transaction can be a win for both parties if it's structured appropriately. And so I think it really varies a lot. I mean, if you're thinking about selling your business, there's probably one whole category of criterion, which I'm happy to go into, that will demonstrate or, you know, think about sort of what you should be thinking about, right? And I'm sure there's some personal considerations too. Some people, I mean, I talk to a lot of business owners who are looking to sell their businesses pretty much on a daily basis. And I mean, in the last week or two, probably I've had conversations with folks who wanted to sell because these are real examples from real people I've talked to in the last, you know, couple weeks, because A, they wanted to go to the south of France and fully retire, or B, they wanted to merge into a larger company and become part of a bigger team and scale that big business up into infinity or whatever, right? So both people are going to effectively sell their company, and their companies are very similar, right? They're both relatively similar revenue, EBITDA, same industry, completely opposite reason for selling, right? And so depending on those things, there might be different things they care about in the transaction or in the negotiation that they really want to focus on and emphasize or de-emphasize. And, you know, one simple example of that would be the person who wants to cash out probably doesn't want to have a bunch of their equity rolled into the deal, which is just a fancy way of saying they keep some stock instead of getting cash. Whereas the person who maybe wants to go and build a bigger company is happy to roll a large chunk of their equity and say, hey, instead of if my company's worth $5 million, instead of giving me $5 million in cash, give me $2.5 million in cash and $2.5 million of stock in this newer, bigger company that then when we go sell it for $20 million in 5 years, suddenly now my 2.5 has turned into 10 or whatever, right? And so that's just one small instance of something that might be completely, the other individual might say, I don't want any rolled equity. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to have to wake up at 2 a.m. when I'm in Marseille and be worried about whether or not your business plan is going to work. I just want my cash, right? So there's lots of considerations as a buyer and a seller, which, you know, if there's specific elements we can dive into, I'm more than happy to do that. But broadly speaking, I think it's all about figuring out like what works for somebody to get a deal done. And that to me is like one of the biggest lessons I've learned about getting deals done. I'm mostly a buyer of businesses. So, I mean, I have sold companies. I sold a company in the last like 2 weeks, basically. That was one of my companies that I'd acquired 6-7 years ago. But the reality is, like, I'm almost always, I spend like 95% of my time when I'm talking to a business owner, just trying to figure out what they care about, right? It's like, what do you want? Why are you selling? Why are you thinking about selling? Right. Because that's going to shape the deal structure dramatically, right? Because a lot of times people, it's so funny. Like, I'm, you know, I compete against like smaller private equity funds and that kind of stuff in a lot of the transactions I'm doing. And many of these groups have a very rigid kind of structured approach to doing a deal, right? It's, you fit into this box, we're going to pay you this much, this multiple, it's going to be this much cash, it's going to be this thing. You know, they have a very tightly defined window that they're willing to execute a deal across. And I have the complete opposite approach, which is basically like, I'll negotiate, like I'll pay you way more than you think the business is worth under the right term structure, right? And that's the old sort of law of price and terms. Like, you set the price, I'll set the terms. Or, you know, I mean, I want to figure out, like, what do you want, right? And you can get into all kinds of esoteric deal structure elements that maybe an institutional entity wouldn't be able to handle that complexity, or would just pass on the deal. And there's tons of opportunities like that. So it's really all about, and I think that's, it's kind of a fundamentally a sales skill, but it's like figuring out, what does the other person want and need, and how can you provide that or help them achieve that as best as you can.
I appreciate that. And Matt, as you were sitting there talking, I was thinking, a lot of people listen here, they actually might be in wanting to acquire a business side of things, which I know is a little bit different than we were just talking about. But if you want, I know that you buy a company, a lot of times people are like, oh, I'm just afraid to buy a company. I just don't have millions of dollars up front cash. How would I actually, and that's what I think they want to sell their business for. How, when you're looking at, so I'm thinking of some of the people who are listening here are going to go, I want to grow and build a business, or I want to buy a business. What are some of the things, as you take a look at what you've been buying? I know you made mention of one you bought that was seven figures, but didn't require seven figures out of your pocket. So if you don't mind, help people understand kind of how they could do that, and also satisfy the company you're buying. But realize, if you're a great marketer and you're trying to scale and grow and build a business, but you don't want to start from scratch, what are some of the things they should be looking at to find the business that they could actually acquire and then scale and grow it?
Yep. So there's a bunch of stuff to unpack there. I think deal flow, which is sort of broadly the second half of that question, we can dig deep into sort of deal flow strategies in a second too. But I'll just give you two headlines for two deals I've closed in the last 60 days to give you a sense of some advantageous transaction structures. And then before we dig into the weeds of maybe how to create those, I think it's also really important to understand, like, why, right? Why should you think about M&A as a growth vehicle? And if you're not thinking about it, maybe you should be, right? Because it can be really accretive or lucrative, or it could be a really advantageous way to grow your business, sometimes in a less risky and faster way than organic growth. So two deals that I've closed in the last, you know, 45, 60 days. One of them closed like March 15th. One of them closed April 1st. I bought be sort of vague because there's obviously some confidentiality elements, but I bought a company that's doing 8 figures in revenue in the staffing space for $0 out of pocket, using what's called a baseline deal structure, which I'm happy to tell you guys about. But I mean, the company's doing 8 figures of revenue, bought it for literally nothing. They just gave me a huge equity chunk in the business, me and a partner, and we have, you know, tons of upside in that structure, right? So that's one element. That's one kind of deal that I've recently executed. Another one's in the healthcare industry, bought a business that's doing sort of mid-single millions in revenue, and similar sort of transaction value for $0 out of pocket, or $50,000 was I wired $50,000 to my attorney's escrow account to close, right? And the seller got over $1 million cash the day of closing, but I was able to buy it for virtually no cash out of pocket, right? And that business is doing several $100,000 a year of EBITDA, millions of dollars a year in revenue. So those are sort of two deals. The aggregate spend for me was $50,000 to buy, you know, north of 15 to, you know, maybe $20 million of revenue. And whatever sort of corresponding EBITDA you can potentially associate to that. So I'll talk about how I did those in a second, but the real question is, why would you want to do something like that, right? Why would you want to do M&A? I think there's two big use cases.
You might explain to people what M&A is and EBITDA.
Oh yeah, sorry. M&A, mergers and acquisitions. It's just a fancy way to say like buying businesses, right? Why would you want to buy a business? There's two main use cases that I see. One is you'd want to buy a business, I would say, instead of doing a startup, right? So if you're thinking about starting a business, I would encourage you to consider the idea of buying one instead of starting one for a lot of reasons. And I'll give you an example in a second. And then the other one is using M&A to grow your business. So the healthcare company that I recently purchased, we literally, before we'd even finished buying the company, we had identified another business that's doing about $300,000 or $400,000 of revenue, which would be maybe a 10%, 15% kind of revenue growth, you know, vector for us. We identified a company that was doing a couple hundred thousand dollars of revenue that had sort of an owner who was looking to retire. They didn't really know what to do with the business. It was too small potentially to sort of sell it out with an M&A broker or something like that. And so we basically came up with a deal where we acquired their business for $1,000, right? And kept them around on salary for a couple of years. We basically merged their whole business into ours. So it was instantly, you know, within weeks of closing on the deal, we'd already grown revenue by 10% by using M&A as a growth vehicle. So you can use M&A if you have, you know, some sort of, if you have an Amazon store, right? I mean, there's insane amount of M&A going on in the e-commerce world right now. And you're selling surfboards, right? You can go acquire somebody who's selling wax, right? Go, and, you know, there's sort of a sweet spot of generally that you see deals like this in the news and stuff where they call them minnow swallows whale, where it's like a company that's doing $10 million goes and buys a $100 million company with some crazy deal structure. Generally speaking, if you want to do M&A for growth, you want to target stuff that's between kind of 10 to 40% of the size of your company currently. And those are the easiest from an integration standpoint, from a capitalization standpoint, that are the least risky. So whatever, if your business is doing 5 million in revenue, you want to be looking for acquisitions that are in the, you know, half a million to maybe $2 million range as sort of a rough proxy that, you know, isn't going to crazily tip over the apple cart if you buy it. Coming back to the idea of M&A versus doing a startup, you know, if you think about any startup, there's a ton of inherent risk factors, right? You don't have customers, don't have employees, don't have revenue. And in most cases, people are raising a couple hundred thousand dollars of maybe friends and family, equity or seed capital or whatever to do a startup. Well, if you look at the same thing, if you had, let's just say round numbers, $300,000 that you were going to put into a startup with no revenue, no customers and no team. Okay. What could you do if you were to turn around and use that to buy a business, right? Okay, I'm just making these numbers up on the fly, but if you had a, you know, $300,000, if you use an SBA loan, which is a very standard, you know, very commonplace acquisition loan in the smaller scale M&A world, you can get up to 90% financing over a 10-year term, which is extremely advantageous, right? You like really good terms. Now you do have to personally guarantee it, which is a whole another can of worms. Some people don't want to do deals with PGs. You can do them without personal guarantees, but you can also get really advantageous deals if you're willing to get a personal guarantee. But just for this example, let's say you take out an SBA loan that's you can do a 10% down SBA loan. So if you have $300,000, that means you can buy a $3 million company and close in all cash, right? So the buyer would get, the buyer would get $3 million at the day of closing, and you would give them 300 from yourself or your friends and family. And then the bank would lend them, you know, the bank would give them 2.7 and you'd pay the bank back over 10 years. So what is a $3 million company? Round numbers, if you assume a 5x EBITDA multiple for just a generic industry, that's a company that's doing $600,000 a year in EBITDA, right? And so, or in income is sort of the, it's not technically the same thing, but for these purposes, close enough. You know, the company is basically making $600,000 a year times 5 equals 3 million, right? And so you're going to have to use some of that money to pay off the bank. But let's say, you know, the bank loan, and you can run all this math. I'm just going to pull it out of thin air. But let's say the bank loan costs $300,000 a year to service, right? Or even $400,000 a year to service. You're paying that off with the company's income. So you still net out $200,000 a year in profit, which is almost 100% or like 75% return on investment for your $300,000 investment. And you have customers already, you have revenue already, you have maybe a team of 5, 10, 15, 20 employees already that are all doing stuff and know what's going on. And by the way, most of these instances, you're buying out a company that's been around for a little while. The owners probably, I bought a company that was 50 years old, literally 50-year-old company. they're using paper sheets and all kinds of crazy stuff for their processes. They basically don't have a website. They don't have an email list. They're definitely not using ClickFunnels, right? Like, there's an insane amount of low-hanging fruit from a marketing standpoint. Somebody who's young, hungry, excited, knows business, knows marketing, you can come in and create a lot of value very shortly. And if we just back that up and say, the company's operating at a 20% profit margin, that's, you know, $600,000 of EBITDA at a 20% margin is a $3 million revenue business. So for $300K, you could go buy a $3 million company and make 200 grand a year instead of spending that money on a startup with no customers and no revenue, which is, I think, is a much better trade.
No, I appreciate that. And so some of these people are going, wow, that's a lot going on. I think the key here
is I talk fast.
No, I think it's important because, Matt, as people are, I think everybody, as an entrepreneur, you start off and you have the idea, I've got this idea, I want to get this out. And some go down the path, I'm going to create my own. Others say, you know, I'm not that great at, but I have this idea, I want to scale it. Someone else has already started it, I'd like to scale it and grow it and build it. I was talking with one of my boys, my son Chandler, and that's one of the things he was looking at is, you know, I think he actually would have more fun actually on scaling and growing an existing business than starting one from scratch, still using ClickFunnels, still using all the things that Russell teaches, you know, dot-com secrets, expert secrets, traffic secrets, all these things are still great things to scale and grow, let alone from even just starting. And I look at all the things that we've done, you know, our inner circle, they basically are people who are doing over $1 million a year. And in doing that, they basically, you know, they pay a chunk of change to have the opportunity of just being there with other people. And I take a look at our category kings who are, again, you got to be doing over 10 million. And those people are doing over 10 million. They have the opportunity, you know, 15 of them can come together twice a year, going through the same stuff that you were just talking about. We had one just recently and hearing all the things that they were looking at as far as how do they scale and grow and what are the things that they're looking at and how, what matters most. And I think it's fun as you start your own company and you scale it and you grow it and you build it. And then you get to the point where you're like, you know what, if I want to do this again, maybe I should actually go out and acquire others who already started and have already paid the hard price at first. And now I can take all the things that I know and I've used and help that to actually scale and grow that business at a much faster level. And I think that as I look at all the stuff, Matt, that you've been doing, one of the most important things is to realize, even as you were referencing, this company has been around for 50 years, but they're very old school type of stuff. It's not that there's anything wrong. It's just that there's things that are better and you can take and apply the better things to it. And then you can scale and grow that business much faster.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I see these businesses on a daily basis, basically, that are doing, you know, $2, $3, $5 million in revenue, and they have very little process. They don't do any marketing. They don't have any salespeople. It's all just word of mouth, relationships, referral, which is awesome, right? I mean, that's an incredible core because the owners haven't done anything to grow the business in 10, 15 years, however long it's been around. Imagine what happens when you start to sprinkle on some of the ClickFunnels magic, right? Or what happens when you start to sprinkle on like basic principles of digital marketing, build a website, collect an email list, start offering, you know, making offers to people and actually being proactive about your marketing. What happens when you bring in a sales function, right? I mean, so for the healthcare acquisition I was talking about, I mean, they don't have any salespeople, obviously, don't do any marketing of any kind. And so we're in the process of hiring two different salespeople. We're looking at a ton of different marketing initiatives right now from a strategy standpoint. You know, we're looking at even getting into e-commerce, right? I mean, they're more kind of, they're more sort of brick and mortar. It's not exactly right given the sort of the way their business is structured. But I mean, we're looking at getting into the e-commerce as a potential growth channel and putting out some feelers, looking at Amazon, all these different avenues that the previous ownership had no idea, right? They were terrified of looking at that stuff. But even if our goal is to have, we have 3 to 5 big strategic initiatives that we think over the next 3 to 5 years could each be $5 million businesses, right? So we're just trying to figure out which one or two of those are we going to really double down on and invest in scale in addition to the core business, which hasn't had any sales or marketing for decades to grow it. And so, yeah, there's a crazy amount of opportunity to grow businesses if you understand marketing, which is, you know, obviously what a lot of you talk about, Dave, and, you know, like anybody listening to this probably has a great understanding of a lot of the cornerstones of marketing that most average business owners aren't applying to their business today.
I appreciate that. I think that's the one of the major keys is to find people who love their business and like what they've done to get to where it's at, but they want to get it to either they want to get it to another level themselves or else they want to go do something else themselves and they don't know exactly what to do. So if people wanted to find out more about you on how they could actually implement some of these things, where should we send them?
I mean, the easiest place is just my website, mattbodnar.com. That's MattBodnar. There's a bunch more info about me and some of the deals I've done and that kind of thing. But I mean, I'm, you know, selfishly, I think we talked about this in the pre-show. Like the reason I'm doing this is I want to meet people who are interested in selling their companies or who want to use M&A as a growth vehicle, right? My whole business is premised on building partnerships with people who are smarter than me. I know M&A and I know how to do deals, right? I worked on Wall Street and all that stuff before coming back to Nashville and kind of getting involved in buying companies. But I'm not an expert in marketing. I'm not an expert in healthcare, right? But I bought a healthcare company because I found somebody who's an expert and partnered with them. I'm not an expert in staffing, but I bought a staffing business because I have a partner who knows a lot about staffing. I'm not an expert in any particular company's operations, but what I am an expert at is looking at a company and figuring out, okay, hey, here's how we can use M&A as a growth tool, right? Or hey, you're thinking about exiting. Okay, well, what if we did these three things that could effectively get you what you want and you don't have to sell your company, all right? Or you could sell part of the company instead of all of it and suddenly you're, you know, or you can restructure your relationship with a company where you're getting out of it what you want or need and not just, you know, being sort of trapped in it. And suddenly it's a bigger win for you, right? I mean, one of the first companies I ever bought, and this is like a longer story, but I bought this company, it was doing $1 million a year in revenue. It was effectively bankrupt, like not quite. They had $300,000 or $400,000 of accounts receivable, which is, you know, basically money that your customers owe you. And they didn't have enough cash in the bank to make payroll, right? So they had all these receivables that were super aged, have never been collected. They couldn't make payroll. And I bought the business for $70,000, right? And not even $70,000 up front. It was $70,000 over like 3 or 5 years. So I effectively just took over a defunct company that had about $1 million of revenue. It had maybe 6 or 7 employees and fixed the business, got it right-sized, cleaned up the receivables, actually pivoted it into a completely different industry. It was sort of an IT hardware company. I pivoted into a software business, ran the company myself for 6 years. And then I realized like, I don't, you know, I'm getting way too bogged down in the operations and I'm not adding as much value as I should be if I were the CEO. And so I fired myself as CEO and became just a board member, like a very active board member and still the largest shareholder, and brought in a professional CEO to run the company for me, right? And so making a transition like that is something that's sort of scary if you're in the weeds and you're running the business and it's your baby. But ultimately, you can look at the different sort of ways to structure a comp plan and options and equity and all this stuff for a potential partner or CEO that you could bring in. And you can structure it to where it's de-risked and you're not like losing your shirt if things go poorly, right? But you have sort of a hedged downside or you've mitigated the downside, but you still can reap a lot of the upside. And so there's all sorts of different ways you can structure your business, your company, your comp plans, partnerships with people, whatever, to figure out what creates a win for everyone. And that comes back to what I was saying earlier is like the best deals are always put together when you really try and figure out like what's in it for everybody and why do they want to do it? Because if you can figure out why someone is thinking about selling, a lot of times maybe selling isn't necessarily the methodology that gets you what you want. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's definitely the right thing to do. But sometimes you can do something else that might be better, whether it's bringing somebody in, whether it's restructuring the company, whether it's, you know, spinning out a division, buying out a partner that you don't like. I've done all of those different things to, you know, come in and sort of clean up an organization or a situation that seemed like it was hopeless, but there was actually a lot of value for everybody sort of sitting around the table.
Matt, I appreciate that a ton. Again, you can find out more at mattbodnar.com. I think the most important part here is to realize with your own business and as you're growing and scaling is realize where do you want to go? What are you trying to do? If you're wanting to buy one, what would you go and where would you go to find out more as far as buying one? Again, if you're scaling your own, obviously that's why we love ClickFunnels, the software, but most importantly, all the training and the education that we have with .com secrets, traffic secrets, expert secrets. Highly recommend seeing all of you guys at Funnel Hacking Live. So if you haven't already got your ticket, go to funnelhackinglive.com. We can't wait to see you there. And again, thanks so much, Matt. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. I hope you absolutely loved all that we just went through. I think the cool thing for me is as I take a look and think of all the things that 100% of the people who have had success, they all have this one thing in common, and that is they all actually built a funnel. So we decided we'd actually release how people can actually do this. So you can go to yourfirstfunnel.com, and it basically shows everyone how to create your first funnel. If you take a look at all the cool free things that are included in this huge list, is a great thing when you start taking a look at what are the things you want to do when you're building your own business. But definitely you want to go to yourfirstfunnel.com. Here you'll see Russell, where he literally goes through all of the details in this amazing video there. In addition to that, he goes through and we actually give this massive overview of all the free stuff. So realize if this is your first time to try ClickFunnels, you actually get 30 days free. In the past, it's always been 14 days. You get 30 days right now. Plus you get 14 days of live coaching, plus Russell's 30-day book. I love this book. This is one of my favorites because it actually goes through where you can see 30 other people in different industries, what they would do if they had to start from scratch. And it's like 520 pages, or I mean, just crazy. And they actually send you the book, plus the Funnel Hacker Cookbook, which is just an awesome thing. I remember we're actually going through all that with Russell in our little kitchen here in the office. But the cool part is he actually goes through every single tiny little thing that you could do. And it's like a cookbook where you just add it into your page that you're building, in your funnel, all that stuff. Plus 102 insane, done for you, ready to go funnels. So you can just hit the ground running today. And that's where, again, these are existing funnels. You can just plug them in. Plus the free headline generator software, which is just awesome because it actually helps you create the headlines, which is so hard for most of us. In addition to that, you get a free list building secrets training, which goes through all the things as far as how do you build your list. So yeah, you got the headline, but now you also have to have the list of where you're gonna go. We're trying to get everyone to get that the first 1,000 people within the first 30 days. Plus Tony Robbins' private collection, 7 of Tony's trainings. Obviously I just adore Tony, and the stuff that he's provided for all businesses is just amazing. So you wanna see that. Plus you also get Dan Kennedy's herd building training seminar, which is one of my favorites. I absolutely love working with Dan and seeing the stuff that he's done. That was one of my favorite ones. Plus, you also get ClickFunnels Funnel Hacker t-shirt. All this stuff is free. And I just want to make sure that you understand that we want you to go to yourfirstfunnel.com. And that way you can actually see it and go through it, see what's there. And we just want to make sure you guys are having success. So we'll talk to you soon.